Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
So, if we go ahead and turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, we're going to look really at this whole chapter here today. And so let me begin to read. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him." And Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, "It's not lawful for you to have her." And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday had celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. And then this is what she asked for. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter." And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. And so he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter to give to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Now that is a gross story. Seriously. In there, when you think about that, I mean, you know, there's some, I've seen some movie scenes. That's pretty bad right there. You think about that scene. But in this moment, then you think, because we want to skip by these things, but, you know, all of John's disciples and those that were in Jesus' disciples that knew John, I mean, there wasn't a sense that this was going to happen, and all of a sudden, bam, he's gone. All of a sudden, things are changed. He's gone. And you can see then that they come and they give this report to Jesus, right? And to his disciples. And you see how Jesus responds in this moment, because this is Jesus' cousin. And in this moment, there is such heartbreak and such a sense of loss. And you say, well, of course, did Jesus know? Well, you know what? That's not the point right now. There's still loss even when you know something's coming. Or something around. There's still tremendous loss in this moment. And it says then this, that verse 13, "And when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities." So Jesus is basically having a time out. He's beginning to go, and he's trying to find a secluded place that he can go and he can spend time with his Father in this moment. And what happens is the people find out where he is, and they begin to show up in, as we say, in droves. In other words, they show up and show up strong, and there's so many people there. And so it says in verse 14, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." You've heard me say this many times, and I feel like a broken record, but compassion is different than feeling sorry for somebody. Compassion is something that has an answer. I'll say that to you again. Compassion is something that has an answer, and his name is Jesus. Compassion has the power of God beginning to move through compassion. When you find it, look it up in Scripture, and you'll see when Jesus had compassion, and then we begin to see miracles. We begin to see this as a sign. There's miracles beginning to happen, and he healed their sick. Verse 15, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves.'" So this is their, basically their natural way of responding to a situation. So you know now there is thought to be, again, around, it's the feeding of the 5,000 that we're going about to walk into as well. But we know that there is many, many, many more than 5,000 there. And it was an incredible experience to be on the side of that mountain in Israel to see the place that this happened in. "But when I stood there and I recognized, it is a vast field. But there at that moment, it's if I could be honest with you, it's nothing special. It's just a field. It's just a hill. And it was really, really cool to be in the same place that Jesus would have been, okay? That's really, really cool. Don't misunderstand that. But this was a field. Something was happening in this moment, and there needs to be an answer because these people are hungry. And so what does Jesus say to the disciples? Let's just read it here. He says, but Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Now, I can't imagine if that was me. It's like you're looking around and you're seeing about 15,000 people probably in there. When you're talking about, the Bible doesn't describe women and children when it speaks of these things. And so there's just piles of people all over the place. And Jesus turns to them and says, yeah, you know what? Yeah, you go feed them. I can't imagine that moment in my brain if I was there. And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, bring them here to me. And then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. And so they all ate and were filled, and took the 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. They took them up, took them back. And now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. And so we know that this miraculous story happens. And this is a story that I love to teach in children's ministry. You probably remember being in Sunday school at some time and hearing of this story. But this story is so powerful because it takes what we have and transforms it into a blessing. It takes what we have because I don't know about you, but if I'm looking at 15,000 people and I got a couple of loaves and a few fish, I'm calling Amazon. Like, you better have more than Prime here. Like, this better be within the hour. Get here and bring something. Because this ain't happening. You look at the smallness of what we have and the greatness of the need. This is the world that we live in right now. The world, there is a great need in our world right now. And as individuals, we can look at ourselves and say, boy, who am I? Got such a small, I'm a small lunch, if we might say in that way. But you see, God loves to use a small lunch. In these situations, we find that God moves powerfully, and we see that not only does he supply the need, but there is multiple baskets, 12 baskets that they pick up that is extra. But that's all precursor for today where I wanted to get to, because the next passage of scripture is what I want to talk about. And but you got to go through this particular story to get to the next one. So we know that, can you imagine, let's just stop, okay, for a second. Think about it. Standing there, and Jesus has a few loaves and a few fishes, and he says, thank you, Lord. He doesn't make a grand, okay, everybody, put your hands toward the food. We're all, every one of us now, they're going to be big. We need to put our hands out. He just simply stands there, thanks God, and begins to break it and pass it out. I can't imagine being the disciples there, coming in for a load, filling up, and going back over to this 100 people over here, and this sitting down together, coming back, and there's more. And he picks up more, and he walks over to another 100 people, and he's like, I don't know, I'm going to go back and see if there's more, and picks up, and you know, just time after time. We're so used to this story, right? We've heard it 100 times. It is miraculous. It is incredible. I can't imagine have been there. I can't imagine the fact of you sit there as a disciple watching this happen going, anything's possible. And it's just like amazing, absolutely amazing. This is incredible. And at the end of this miracle, now has anybody ever seen a miracle before? Put up your hand. You've seen a miracle. It's amazing when you begin to see God move. You see miracles beginning. We have some miracles in our midst right now. Here, we can point to them and see you are a walking and talking miracle of God. But in this, realize that, I will put it this way to you as well. How many of you had an incredible encounter with God? Just absolutely overwhelming. Have you ever had that? If you haven't yet in this, I'm believing for you to begin to have this. Would you set your faith with me that you would be able just overcome by the presence of God? But I have been there. I have seen miracles happen. I have seen, like, you're just, you, it's like you're walking on air because the thickness of the anointing in the room. Do you know what I'm talking about? You've just been there. You've seen miracle after miracle, and you're shocked. You're the one praying, and you are surprised, okay, because of just the immensity of what God is doing. And you're like, okay, we're so-and-so. Okay, you got to get up here now because God's in the midst of doing something. And you've been in those meetings, and I've got home in those meetings, and I mean, you just feel like, you know, Elisha, you know, all the miracles that they seen, and you're just like, man, everything's, we can just do anything. It's just going to be awesome. It's amazing. And then comes a test. Anybody been there? At the end of the most highest mountain with God comes this test. So they have just been on the highest of mountains. In fact, they've been on the side of a mountain when they began to do this physically, but also they're just, you can imagine. And Jesus says to them this, okay? So we're now, excuse me, at verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening had came, he was alone there, but the boat, where's the boat? Boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Okay, I want to stop there. I don't want to get too ahead in this. But you see that this is when basically I've just been in an incredible experience with God, and then comes the test. The test is immediately, usually after some kind of miracle. Tests are meant, though you got to grasp this if you're going to write something down. Tests are meant for our advancement, not for our exclusion. Tests are meant for our advancement and not for our exclusion. They're not meant to cast us away. Jesus' tests are not meant to eliminate you, but to propel you towards himself to give you what you need in the next season. This test right now, we find, see, I'm telling you these things because I know that God is about to start breaking out in new things. You're going to begin to have God stories. But on the end of every God story, we find, even it can be even the next hour after a God story, that we find that there is a test. Now, I want you to be really, really clear to me. Look up at me for a second. I do not believe that God uses sickness and disease to test us. I do not believe that. I don't believe that God uses something that he paid for on the cross to test us. I don't believe he would have died on the cross, went through all of that, had the lashes on his back, then to go, you know what, let's get some disease. Let's bring these people towards me. How does that even make sense in this? I do, however, know that the world that I live in is broken. Come on now, it's not what God had planned. It is not, and there are terrible things that happen to people that love God. There just are. And you see, what happens sometimes is we get wiped out when we find that even the children of God go through terrible things. It can mess with you. It can mess with you so incredibly when you see this. And when you pray and you pray and you pray. Anybody been there? Come on now. Let's just be honest about it. You pray and you pray and you do not see a change come. And see, those moments, I am not telling you. See, God didn't do it to us to test us to see how we are. But in those moments of life and the difficulty, sin came into this world and garbage happens. Come on now. This is just what happens in the midst of things. I'm not saying it has to happen to you. Hear me now and clearly, but I'm saying sometimes these things do happen. But you look at this and we see our goal is not, when we look at this, for me right now, a goal is not for me to get better at being a Christian. I don't have such a goal. My goal is to be like Jesus. That's my goal. And you say, aren't they the same thing? No, see, Christianity is like religion at times. Rules and regulations don't bring us towards God. You got to hear me in this. Rules, and I'm not saying that we get to just go do whatever we want to do, but relationship is about connection. And so my goal is to, by being and believing like Jesus. Can you imagine if we all believed like Jesus? Imagine what this world would be like. Come on now. if we all believed like Jesus. Let me ask you, can we believe like Jesus? We can. It is available to us. It is by grace and God beginning to work in our lives. You see, things happen, difficult situations happen. Tests often rid us, though, of these filters. Have you ever noticed that in the midst of a test, you really find out what you believe? Come on now, right? In the midst of a test, you find out what your mouth really believes. Maybe you are not like me, okay, in this. Because my mouth says sometimes some things, and I'm like, who is saying that? Where did that come from? You see, in those moments, and in those tests, and in those difficult seasons, we find out what we really believe. But it's not to sit there and go, see, I told you you didn't believe me. Now get out of here. It is for this. Come here. I have the answer. Come, stop running away. Come here. And you're like, I am out of here. No, he's like, stop. Stop, 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 stop. Come here. You see, this is this relationship, this connection, this sense of when we are being tested that we walk towards God. We look at this. Let's look at this next passage part here. Let's go back over. I love this part in verse 22. Jesus immediately made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Now, let me ask you, you're going to see the story in just a minute here, that all of a sudden they're freaking out in the middle of the lake. They are freaking out in the middle of the lake. What did Jesus say? Go to the other side. Did he say, good luck? Have fun? He said he would meet them on the other side. So if he says, we're going to get to the other side, or let us go, is what the actual King James says. Let us go to the other side in this. If he says that, are we getting there? But you know what? Our brains just like, hang on a second, but Jesus ain't here. Something difficult happens and we're like, where'd God go? Where'd God go? Come on now. Yeah, you're all of a sudden you're in the middle of this. When everything is going well and everything is going, you're like, God's right beside me. This is so amazing. And then, poof, where'd God go? And yet he's still right here with us. Now we find that in this, if God says we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side. Jesus has an other side for you. You know what? I want you to grasp that word, that Jesus has another side for you. He has another, in other words, after this storm, he has another side. He has a place for us. Because when they get to the other side is when more ministry begins to happen and more connection with Jesus begins to happen. You know, let's just verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. They are stuck in the storm. And I don't mean just in the sense that they're going to be. Think now, they have been rowing for almost 4 hours. Has anybody been in a storm on the water? I had, I don't even know if my parents know this or not. It's always fun when they're sitting in the audience and you're preaching. But I lived up in a small place called Victoria Harbor. And believe it or not, no, I was a few pounds lighter at that time. Mom and Dad and myself were in a canoe. The three of us in a canoe. Woo, because Mom was not staying on the shore. Dad and I were going in the canoe. Mom's like, you going in the canoe? I'm going in the canoe. So Nanny's in the center of the canoe. And I look over and we get out there, and I know we're a little farther than we probably should out there, and it's on basically, it's up around the Midland area. And all of a sudden, I look over and I see these black clouds coming. That is not what you want to see with three people in a canoe. New. And I'm telling you, the waves and the black sky begin to come up. And this was my face. It's all good. My insides was going, dear Jesus, I didn't think I was going to die with my parents. in this moment, because it was getting rough. And if you've ever been there, a canoe, this isn't like a big vessel. This is like if Dad accidentally moves us to this way because he's paddling the front, or I got the paddle wrong and we hit a little bit of a wave sideways. I know my mom can swim, but okay, here we go in this moment. But this for them, they are in the middle of a massive storm, and they're, again, they are wondering why they're there. They're beginning to freak out in the midst of this. But the boat, as we say, was in the middle of the storm. Now, here's your first piece of take home. If you catch your reaction trigger quick enough, you can still yourself even if the storm doesn't stop. I'll say it again to you. If you catch your reaction trigger quick enough, you can still yourself even if the storm doesn't stop. See, as Christians, oftentimes we're all about the fact that the storm has to stop. Let me ask you, when Peter gets out of the boat at the end of this story and jumps on the water, had the storm stopped? Read it. It did. It was still freaking out. He gets out on the waves. He jumps out of the boat in the middle of the storm. He does not wait until the storm calms down to get out of the boat. In fact, we know because Jesus picks him up, we know in the story, and they walk back over, they get into the boat, and then Jesus calms the storm. In the middle of this, there is this sense that for me, you know, when you, if you look at scripture, whenever you see the fourth watch, that's the darkest of night. And then all of a sudden this starts to happen. Now in the fourth watch of the night, verse 25, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. This is just an understatement. They were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost," as they cried out for fear. So here's the thing for me. I'm looking at it. Come on. They're out there. They're paddling away. They're freaking out. Everybody's screaming and yelling. I can just see it. Like, I mean, can you see Peter in the midst of this thing? He's just freaking out. All of the boys are just having it is bad. And all of a sudden they look over and there's this figure on the water. And they're like, "Oh, it's come to kill us. It's come to just end everything." And because they don't recognize that it's Jesus. They don't have any concept for that yet in there. And yet, this is what happens. Then Jesus says here in verse 20, it's 27. "But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.'" Now, what I love about this, if you've ever seen something where this is better, this is good, this is better, and this is best. Let me give you some good, better, and best. When Jesus starts to speak, things begin to change. Come on now, that was good. When Jesus begins to speak, things begin this change. In the storm, you better surround yourself with right voices. In a storm, you better surround yourself with right voices. I'll say it again. In the storm, you better surround yourself with right voices. Because what happens is if you're in a boat with people that are screaming and yelling, what are you going to start to do? You're usually going to start screaming and yelling. Now, again, in these times, when we're going through this, this is when we need voices in our life that speak with God, and they speak in the sense of the words of God over our lives. Now, what I want you to do, I know this seems a little bit, let me get to the good, better, and the best, okay? That verse 27, it says that Jesus began to speak, and he said that. Now, the King James uses this verse, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." Really, it gives the impression of the fact of, come on, everybody, let's get happy now. Okay, in this, because come on now, it's good. I'm here. Let's all get happy now. Okay, in this. And that would be good, right? I have been told that I need to be happier by my sweet wife. Come on now. Anybody need to get happier? Come on, smile at me for a second here. Okay, you all, I know some of you need to get happier, okay, in there, just like me. But this is the good. The better is, I love the Passion Translation. It says this, "Don't yield to faith. Have courage." The best is this last part. "It's really me." I love that translation. "It's really me. I am." And so in this moment, we see that Jesus is there. Jesus is with us. And when we have these storms happen in our life, it's important that we're hearing the right voices. We're hearing the voice of God. And that is really by knowing his word. Now, if any of you want to know what I'm reading right now, I love to read in that way. I mean, I struggle with reading, really struggle with reading, but I know it's good for me, and I know I love the end result from it. And so I'm reading a fantastic book now, right now, called Out of the Cave. This book is rocking me really hard. This is Chris Hodges. It's all about walking out of depression. Anybody want to be done? Now, some of you looked at me strangely there. Anybody want to be done? I am tired of depression. Anybody else? Go say it again. Anybody else? In there. Now, this, again, if I just sit there and read this book and I go, that's good. What's going to happen? Nothing. There is this application, and it's the same as the Word of God. The reason I'm telling you about that book is because you'll know I value books. But the book that really, really helps me in a storm is God's Word and beginning to apply it to us. I would say it this way. We've got to know that in the midst of a storm, we've got to look for one of two things. We're going to look for the storm, more of the storm, or we're going to look for the miracle walking on the water to change things. And in this moment right now, God has, don't you just love it when he, yeah, maybe some of you have a sweet, I have a wonderful, amazing, incredible relationship with Jesus, but at times Holy Spirit has to smack me up the side of the head. Okay, I'm looking at you guys and none of you have that experience, okay. He sometimes sits there and goes, has to get my attention to show me something. And what this is for me is this reference to the fact that that it's time for change. So I can either watch other people be blessed by God and other people do the amazing things of God, or I can be involved. In this season right now, I am fighting. Anybody else fighting? I'm not just fighting. I am warring, and I'm talking about the fact that I am believing for a better destiny because I don't want to be on the sidelines when God begins to move. Are you with me? I don't want to be on the sidelines. I can't afford. Now, again, I need you to hear me hard and hear me carefully. I do believe I have a belief system that when I go and I've gone to therapy before and I've done these things and they are incredible. I have done sozos, all of those things. It is incredible ministry. But there's this other ministry that changed my life in January. Absolutely radically changed my life in January. You say, well, you know, that sounds a little bit over the top. I am different than I was on January the 1st. Different. Am I perfect? No. Do I still struggle with some of this stuff? No. But I am different since January the 1st. Something happened to me just slightly after the 1st of January that just changed me on the inside. I began to not have to fight so much against depression as to watch it begin to fade. It comes in swarms, okay, in this. But right now, this is what this is. You're all looking at me going, Pastor Rod, you should be writing a book. No. Okay, in this, listen. This is simple, really, really simple. Jesus said, are you willing to do one thing and I'll change your life? And I said, sounds too easy. I just was honest. I said, sounds too easy. The place I'm in right now, I'm not sure one thing is going to help. He goes, one thing, Rod. Do one thing over this next year, one thing, and you will be radically different. Anybody want to know what that one thing was? Be helpful. And you say, well, that was a kind of an anticlimactic thing. Thought there was going to be something much more spiritual. Thought you were going to give me a verse and a thing. And when Jesus shows up and says, you're not being helpful, you stop. And you say, Lord, okay. Because see, when things get difficult, we sometimes stop being helpful. Because we look and go, you don't know what I'm going through right now. I've only got so much energy right now. I need someone to help me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. And so in January, the beginning of January, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to need your help. And since January, I have been trying that every time a situation happens or someone asks something of me, my response is, how can I help? You know what? I'm different. I am regaining who I was. Some of you probably don't like me talking like this, but I'm regaining who I was. You know what a call in my life is? Someone would say prophetic. Do you know that the prophetic people have to be the people that serve the best? And I don't mean best as in where it's a challenge. It's like a competition. But God told me a long, long time ago, the more I use you, the more you have to serve. And the more you have to be helpful. And some reason in the middle of all of the war and all the fighting and all of the difficulty, I'd forgotten that. I'm still helpful here and there. But my life is about being helpful. Anybody else? This is who we are. And in the midst of this storm, Jesus walks by and he gives the disciples a word. He calls them out, calls, you know, Peter wants to jump out, like, just to make sure it's you, Lord, I'm gonna jump out of the boat. And he says, come. And in that moment, Peter gets out, and I can't imagine walking on water. Can you? I don't know if you did it. I tried it when I was a kid in the pool. Didn't work. Seriously, it was like we were over at a pool at the Garveys, and we're all like, it's like, hey, let's try this out and see. Sunday school. Didn't work. Tried it so many times in there. We weren't making fun. We were just checking it out to see if it worked. I can't walk on water yet. Okay, in there. But when Jesus came by, see, in January, I decided to not let the storm of my life have all my attention. And I decided that the Holy Ghost was coming by. And he had a word for me. And it was going to transform and change my life. Stand up with me. I'm not sure we went where I was supposed to go with my notes, but I'm just believing. Just close your eyes for a second here. I want to go back to what Pastor Claude said. And he just reiterated what I had said before. Something's different happening. Maybe you believe the lie that all you're going to do is just row in the middle of the lake forever. Man, Pastor Rod, you don't know. I just feel like I've lost my direction. I've lost who I am. I'm just in the midst of this lake, and I'm just rowing and rowing and rowing, and Jesus is nowhere to be found, and I don't understand why he's not coming, and I don't understand why he's not here, and this, you just, I am going to challenge you to not stare at the winds and the waves, to not stare at the storm, but to look for the Holy Ghost to come on the water with a word. And when that word comes, if it's as simple as mine, to be honest with you, I was almost disappointed when he told me, because I thought I had something. It's like, wow, this is awesome. This is going to be amazing. And then he said, be helpful. And once I got over my offense, I wasn't being helpful. God began to change my life with one word. I am returning to being helpful. So here's my challenge to you. In this season that we're in right now, we need all of us. Your word might not be helpful, although it would be good for everyone to be helpful. But in the midst of this, here's your word. That Jesus is coming, walking on the water. As you stop, and I'm telling you, it's not easy. It is so not easy. As we stop focusing on what the winds and the waves are saying, screaming that we're a failure, that we're done, and we start listening to godly voices that are around us, and we start listening to God's voice, we will see a transformation come.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.